Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Land for Set for Success, where we discuss what you need to do to be successful in your business, career, and life. So I have a question for you. Have you ever wanted to start a business, but were never really too sure where to go or what to do to be able to start a business? I think a lot of people secretly want to be entrepreneurs. They to create their own path, to pave the road to their future on their own. Maybe they have an idea of the idea of, you know, it's an adventure, or actually it's a venture, would probably be the better word, to build something they can call their own. But being in business, self-employed, or a true entrepreneur means you need to know a lot of stuff. Like, I suspect a lot of entrepreneurs need a vision of their own success, and they need to sort of drive, have the drive to achieve that, or drive to achieve. I mean, maybe those are the weird words to put it, but it's some kind of implementation. You need to develop a set of skills, from business planning, sales and marketing, to promote your business, process to work effectively, have something around human resources to create relationships with people, and build a business culture that you want. How about finance? You need to understand numbers. I mean, if you don't understand numbers in business, that could be a bit of a challenge. But wait, even more, you'll need money to start a business. So maybe you need to actually know finances and get money from somewhere. So you have to borrow from the bank or your family, friends. Maybe you have to dip in and borrow from your nest egg. Maybe you don't have a nest egg and you still have to come up with money. I suspect it takes money to build a business. There's a good possibility that you'll need friends and mentors, that maybe you need a team of people around you to guide you. You know, in the movie In the movie Hucksucker Proxy, Tim Robbins, he's sort of a naive business executive, and Paul Newman plays a company director, and Jennifer Jason Lee is a fast-talking reporter. And there's this big statement on the wall: the future is now. I guess you can say in business, as an entrepreneur, the future is always now, right this very minute. So you have to embrace it. So let's find out from my guest today about embracing your future as an entrepreneur. So today I'm speaking with Joelle Foster of Futurepreneurs. I should have played with your name before we actually started the show. Futurepreneurs, welcome to the show.
Actually, I love that song, Jolene, by Dolly Parton.
Oh, do you?
I can't wait for her to come here. I bought tickets and everything.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, so calling me Jolene is really
is
not real, bad. Yeah.
Not a bad thing at all. So can I do that throughout the show? No.
I'll start singing it for you.
Well, that's okay. We can do that. So say your name again for me.
Joelle Foster.
Joelle Foster. There we go. I like it when guests actually say their name. So Joelle, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am the director for Futurepreneur Canada, and I've been doing this for about 6 years. Prior to that, I was working at Myers Norris Penney. Prior to that, I was actually in television for 8 years at CKY-CTV.
Wow.
Which was amazing. So we were, myself and the team, we brought Touch to an Angel, Touched by an Angel to Winnipeg, which was quite exciting.
And I think actually that was a TV show.
Or, yes,
yeah,
it was.
I think I actually remember something
about
that. I
thought
that
would do really well here in Winnipeg, and it did.
Oh, right on.
But prior to that, you know, I grew up in a little town called Baker Lake in Nunavut, and a lot of people have never heard of that. And it's near the Arctic Circle, and I'm one of the few non-Indigenous people that went to a residential school in Yellowknife at Acacia Hall.
Oh, wow!
So I've got some really interesting skills that aren't really transferable down south here. Like I could skin a caribou like no one you've ever seen.
So this is something you learned how to
do. Yeah,
So how do you use that skill today?
No,
you don't.
No,
you never know. There's probably some good stories out of it.
And stuff too. It was amazing to grow up in the tundra and the fresh air. And I do love being here in Winnipeg. It's not big like Toronto. It's a small city, but I do miss being up north.
But up north. Sorry. When did you move away from being up north? When did you leave home,
you know,
so to speak?
I left home at 14 years old.
Okay.
And then my parents pulled me out of Yellowknife 2 years in and stuck me in a private girls' school down here at Balmoral Hall.
Okay.
For grade 11 and 12. That was culture shock. But best thing they ever did for me, and I'm here now in front of you because of the people that I met and the lessons learned.
During that time period. You mentioned that you worked for Myers Norris Penney. Mm-hmm. What did you do for them?
I ran the self-employment program.
Oh, yeah, like the entrepreneurship program,
yes.
Usually sponsored, I think government-sponsored.
By the government. So yes. If you want to start a business, you're on EI. I helped develop all the classes and workshops for that and read business plans and help those people start their businesses.
That's interesting. You and I actually have something in common then, because for a portion of my career, I spent 5 years working in Alberta in a similar program. With an organization called MKS Learning. So they were sort of the competition to the company that you were with.
Interesting. Okay. City.
But then I did a bunch of other stuff in business analysis and stuff too. So that's why I was curious as to what you did with them. So I understand that. Futurepreneurs, is you're the director of Futurepreneurs now, right?
Futurepreneur here in Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Nunavut, and NWT.
Okay. Now, Futurepreneurs, I was reading up a bit online, and it seems like you guys went through like a name change, though.
We did. We started as a national charity 20 years ago. So we just celebrated our 20th anniversary.
Oh, no. Congratulations.
What was happening is young people wanted to go to the banks and start businesses. And 20 years ago, when you're 19, 20, 21, nobody was going to give you any money. So through RBC and CIBC foundations, they put together $2 million and we were developed out of this.
Oh, okay. So the banks actually had a hand in developing Futurepreneurs.
And then
That's exciting.
We evolved on our own and became this incredible organization. And about 2.5 years ago, we went through rebranding because CRA changed the rules for charities quite drastically. So we strictly became a nonprofit. So we decided Futurepreneur. So future entrepreneurs.
Okay.
And hence, here we are now.
Here you are now. In terms of that, your organization, what age category do most people fall into when you talk about Futurepreneurs?
Well, we help people between 18 and 39 years of age. And yes, 39 is considered young, especially when we're living into our 90s, middle ages, about 50, 55 now. So.
I know. That 60s, the new 15, 50s,
I know,
the new 40.
It is.
And all of those kind of things. So it is a sort of young group that you're working with. That sort of poses some interesting questions, I guess, around just some of the interesting work that you actually do. So what really drew you into working with an organization like this?
Well, when you're working for a nonprofit, I always tell people you have to have a servant heart.
Okay.
So, and I certainly have that. And, I just really want to make a difference. I don't know whose funeral I was at. It was probably about 8 years ago. And somebody listening, or I was talking around me, and said something about, when I die, I wonder what people are going to say at my funeral. And, it really stuck with me. And I thought, the path that I was on wasn't necessarily, she was great in her job. But I, at my funeral, and I know it's weird to talk about, I want people to say the impact that I made in other people's lives.
In your lives.
The change that I made in our province, in our city. So, I switched my way of thinking around and I decided that I was going to give back. I was going to get a job where I was actually making a difference in people's lives.
In people's lives. So I'll tell you what, we'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about how you're making a difference in people's lives.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. And I'm talking to Joelle from Futurepreneurs. And just before we did the break, she was talking about making a difference. And Joelle, I have to say that, that was a bit of a dark story you gave us.
But a happy ending.
But, I got it. I mean, how often in our lives we've either experienced tragedy or we've experienced a tragedy of somebody else or maybe just natural events, life events, right? And it makes a difference in our lives. We decide to do something different for our lives. So it sounds to me like you've decided to do something different for your life because of that. Tell us a little bit more about that. And I guess in terms of in what way you're making a difference with the organization you're doing and what ways your organization making a difference. So we'll slide in that way.
Okay. Well, you're looking at the generation right now, the millennials, and they're very entrepreneurial. They don't want to work 9 to 5. They don't want to work in cubicles. They want to start businesses. And at the end of the day, a lot of our grads are not going to find those jobs that are out there. So what we're doing is we're empowering young people to start their own business. We have free online resources. We have this incredible interactive online business plan writer. We have webinars and webcasts and cash flow templates. We give them some financing, but the biggest thing is we give them a business mentor for 2 years at no cost.
Oh, wow. So somebody will actually work with them.
Oh, yeah. Someone like you that has your breadth of experience, he's going to have to sign on as a mentor before
She's working me. She's working on me.
Oh, I am. And then you look at the newest generation that's coming up, the Gen Zs that they're calling, they say they're going to be twice as entrepreneurial as the millennials.
So what do you think is making them entrepreneurial?
Well, they're looking at things differently. And they're growing up with technology and they're looking outside the box. They want that work-life balance. I mean, as a Gen X, I have no work-life balance. None whatsoever. Yeah,
just
zero.
Lots of attitude.
Yeah.
A Gen X attitude. I'm a Gen Xer, so
okay.
I understand.
Oh, we have a lot to talk about. But, you know, they just, and they want, because they want to make a difference in the world and they don't want to work for the corporations. It's all about that, the greed. We had those in the Gen X and the baby boomers. It was all about making the mighty dollar. And this is changing the social enterprise. So we just want to empower these young people and let them know that we're here to help them.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, there's a lot going on, and I'm very fortunate that I'm a parent, and I have two boys, and they're 12 years apart. So I have one that's like a Gen Y, and one's like a Gen Z, and I watch how my Gen Z does things, and it just amazes me. You know, like I'll be sitting there going, "What are you spending so much of your time on your phone for?" He's doing his homework, you know, like,
yes.
And it's all done, like, and it's done, and with a group of people, and you know, they never really go to each other's places, but it's done, and then they submit it via their telephone. Like, just amazing.
Well, I have a girlfriend whose son spends a lot of time gaming. She just found out that he's actually making money online gaming, and he's in the top percentile in this one game. He could make thousands and thousands of dollars.
Okay, so he's actually making, so he's being one of the games. It'd be interesting to see if there's a huge global, I think it's in Sweden, gaming event that goes on, I think,
yes.
Annually, and people go and they compete for big money.
Millions
of dollars.
I know.
I was playing pinball.
I was playing Atari.
There you go. Atari and pinball and stuff. And just started with all of that. So I guess we could definitely go down a bit of a rabbit hole here. But one of the things you said, something about a business online planner.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So it's a free online interactive business plan writer.
Okay.
Anyone can use it. You don't have to come through us.
Okay.
So you can just go on, log in. We've had over 56,000 people all over the world use it in the last 2 years. And it's got videos. So if you're not sure, you can click on a webinar. It'll delve deeper into operations or human resources and when you're hiring someone, what that looks like. So you work with it as you're going through. And when it spits out this wonderful either PDF or Word document. You don't even have to have Microsoft Office on your computer in order to use it because it's on a cloud.
Yeah, everything's on a cloud now,
yes.
Too, right? And you know, it's interesting you would say that about being on a cloud because I have several business friends who are running small companies, you know, and they're younger, the younger generation that we were just talking about, and they buy none of their software. Right. They use all of their, and they're not stealing.
No.
They're using all of the software that's free on the internet. And it's one of the ways that they keep their operational costs down, you know, and they talk totally about it, about, you know, I need to manage my costs, my business. This is how we do it, you know, and they're not spending the $500 for this app or anything. If they need to spend, it's like $20, you know, so it's a very interesting way to approach business. I know that you've had some successes and things, you know, so what are some of the businesses? Maybe we can start off with one and then we'll break down a few during some of the other segments. Well, give us an example of a business that might come to you and say, you know, I need help being a futurepreneur.
Well, I mean, we funded a lot of restaurants. If I look at Manitoba right now, we funded a lot of restaurants that people might know about, like Shawarma Khan and the Green Carrot, Abby
okay.
Khan, the football player.
Yeah.
You know, Nick's on Broadway, Bronitz, The Roost. So, I mean, when it comes to restaurants, I've got 27 of them, and I've only had one fail out of 27.
One out of 27 fail.
Yes.
And Winnipeg's supposed to be like one of the cities that if you can make it in a restaurant business,
yep.
Here, is that still true? Still true statement?
Only if you come through us.
No,
but it's true.
Yeah,
you know what? A lot of people, when they start restaurants, they just put a sign up and they don't think about what needs to be done. And there is a lot.
All the issues.
And we put those entrepreneurs through gears. We make sure that human resources, operations, financials, cash flow, everything is in place before those doors open. And they've got now a huge chance for success.
So one of the ones that popped out me when you said it was Bronitz.
Bronitz, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So first, let's define it. It is a donut store.
Yes, two
right?
brothers.
Two brothers. So tell us a bit about that one.
So two brothers, and the one brother actually, his wife was pregnant. She's a partner there as well. While they were starting the business, she was pregnant. She gave birth. They have this little baby now. They are doing extremely well. They have lineups out the door.
I heard.
And they usually close by about 2 o'clock. clock.
Yeah. Yes. I hear that they sell out.
Yes.
And I've gone by a few times and everything. And every time I've gone by, I've not been able to get in.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But they're up at 3:30 in the morning. They're making donuts.
So they've been able to take a traditional business. I'm going to call it a traditional business.
Yes.
Owned by, well, we can tell who the competition is, right? I mean, you know, who doesn't know Tim's, right?
Right.
You know, and all Canadians, you just say that, they know what you're talking about. I'm going to Tim's. So Bronuts has actually found what maybe a bit of a niche to work through.
Well, if you look at the buying habits, the millennials are the biggest buying market right now.
Yeah, they are.
And
most
they
people don't realize
want
it.
Local.
Yes.
They want fresh and local.
Yes.
So, I mean, millennials are, they say they're going to be the death of Costco, or Gen Z might be the death of Costco. They want to go to local stores. So, and now that Tim Hortons, it's owned by a U.S., now, I don't even want to go there anymore.
Yeah, so
I want to support Canadian and local. So I'm very careful about where I shop.
So that makes a lot of sense. You know what? We'll take a short break. We'll come back. Maybe we'll talk about the idea of buying local and how that impacts the economy. This
okay.
is Richard Land. We'll be right back. Hi, it's Richard Land for Set for Success, where we discuss what you need to do to be successful in your business, career, and life. And that's what we're doing today. And really more from an entrepreneur perspective, and being a future entrepreneur. And maybe you have an interest in business to start your own business. Maybe you're young and you have this idea for a new software product or a company that you want to start, be it a manufacturing or a restaurant. Or, I don't know. It could be anything, a bicycle repair shop. But, you know, where do you go to actually get help with that? I know anybody who started off in business, usually they need help. They talk to friends and family or mentors or they find organizations that can assist them. And there's many, many questions to get answered. You know, what are you going to do? What's your strategy going to be? And basically, what is your financial plan? And how are you going to do your sales and marketing and how that's going to go? And where are you going to get people to help you? What about your employees if you need them? Are you going to do contractors? Are there going to be staff? So these are the types of things we're trying to cover off today with my friend Joelle, basically from Futurepreneur. And she's basically here talking overall about what you need to do to be successful in your business or a place you can go to get assistance if you're a young person. So this is Richard Lannan, and we'll be right back. Hi, and welcome back. We've been talking to Joelle from Futurepreneur and talking a bit about business and what you need to do to set one up. So one of the things we did just before the break, we were starting to talk a little bit about some success stories or cool businesses. You call them cool businesses. So I want to hear about cool businesses, because I think when I think business sometimes, I think shoe store and clothing store and restaurant, but there's got to be some really cool businesses out there.
You know, a lot of people are really thinking outside the box. So we've got one young entrepreneur, and she started something called Slice of Lice.
Slice of Lice.
So
okay, that makes my skin crawl
yes.
just by saying
yeah.
it.
Yeah, so...
Well, what is that?
So lice is in the word for a reason.
Yeah.
She basically has discovered that a lot of people do not know how to get lice out of children's hair.
Okay.
So she does it. She's fully trained. She does it in a natural way. And because she is so popular, she actually has a studio now.
Oh, really?
In the city.
Okay.
And people can bring their kids there and she'll get rid of their lice.
Oh, really? So they bring them into,
yes.
so she has all this lice coming through her door every
yes,
single
she
day.
Does.
Wonderful. Most
yes.
people go the other way, right?
I don't.
Your kids have lice? They do not play with my kids.
And I don't do many site visits there.
Yeah, I wonder why.
I'll just call her on the phone.
And call her on the phone, see how she, okay, so that's an interesting
yeah.
business.
Another one of my entrepreneurs has started Crick's Nutrition, C-R-I-K. And basically, he has discovered that crickets are pure protein, so they're ground down into this wonderful powder that you can drink in the morning. And
oh,
it's
really?
Better than whey.
Oh, I'm just going to use the word whey.
Yeah, and
that's
a lot
so
of people,
funny.
I can't drink whey. It
okay.
makes my stomach upset. But I drink Crick's. I know it's crickets. You just get over it, but it's amazing.
So once you get past the psychological side of
yes,
things.
Yes, and I like
really
the chocolate
the
a lot.
The chocolate, of course.
Chocolate
crickets. Who doesn't like chocolate crickets? That, you know what? Those are really unique businesses. Now, when you take a business like Crick's, a small business, I take it, entrepreneur, is that now a business that can be sold online or is it sold in stores? Like, do you know a little bit about how he's going about developing his business?
So right now it's online.
Okay.
A lot of people are doing the online business. I've got another one called Little Box of Rocks where she sends you rocks every month. I know. I wish I had thought of that.
Oh, my gosh. Little box of rocks. So she goes and picks the rocks and sends them.
Not like out of a quarry. They're rocks that have meaning, like quartz. And so
okay.
they're actually gorgeous rocks. Actually
okay.
really quite beautiful. But, I mean, Crick's, I'm sure that at some point he's going to look at selling into some of the stores and stuff like that. But a lot of people, it's online, it's reaching a global market.
Yeah.
And crickets are very sustainable. They're, you know, you can grow a lot in a small area. Then, I mean, it's just looking outside the box.
Outside the box. It's interesting you would say that in terms of being online, because we were talking about different generations before, and we were talking a bit about family, and I use my kids as examples. And I have one of my sons, I mentioned, was older, and I don't think he actually goes out to the store to buy things. I pretty much, he does all his research and everything, and then if he needs to go and look at something, he will. But for the most part, anything he wants, he gets it offline, ordered, delivered to him, and that's it. He doesn't really need to go shop. And it's actually quite interesting to see that. And he's not paying delivery charges or anything along this line, so it's not costing more. He's actually getting stuff cheaper. You know, so it's fascinating to see how that all works. So that doesn't surprise me in terms of doing the business totally online. Are there any other sort of cool businesses that you can mention? Or maybe we should go with maybe another success story.
Well, I mean, you look at Saskatchewan, because I understand some of your viewers are from...
Viewers.
Yeah, like listeners, viewers.
You're looking at the radio right now.
Yeah. Like Nietzsche Gear.
Keep your eyes on the road. Nietzsche Gear.
Yeah,
what's a Nietzsche
Gear? Kendall Netmaker is an incredible young entrepreneur, and he has created this sports line, and he's represented Canada at the G20. He was actually up for Entrepreneur of the Year Award. He came in second.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, he's out of Saskatoon.
Okay.
It's incredible. And then there's another young lady.
So let's just back up a little bit. What was the product that he created?
It's called Nietzsche Gear.
Nietzsche Gear. So what is that?
It's his own brand that he's created. And, I mean, he is, I think he's from Sweetgrass Nation. And he's a young Indigenous entrepreneur that was really good in sports and wanted to create a brand around Indigenous people and pride. And I know that he goes out a lot and does a lot of speeches.
Good for him.
It's just incredible.
It's like, great. It's you know, those, that's really great to see that kind of stuff, right? Because one of the things, the branding is so important. Mm-hmm. And to understand how to build a brand and be able to market that, that's a big accomplishment. That's a huge, huge accomplishment. What are some of the other challenges that might actually exist in the businesses or the entrepreneurs that are coming to you?
One of the biggest things I've seen is around human resources. A lot of these young people have barely been employees themselves. Some of them haven't even been employees. And now they've got to hire people.
Okay.
They've got to have a team under them. They've got to interview them.
And so how do they go about building those skills, or what are some of the challenges? I mean, I understand the challenge overall, but what are you seeing as some of the trends when they're suddenly thrown into the world of, oh my gosh, I got to manage people or lead people?
One of the good things that we do is when they're writing the business plan for us, the human resources aspect of it, when we know that they've got to hire employees, we challenge them. So we get them to do the research ahead of time. So one of the things that we find with our entrepreneurs is we're helping them to be proactive instead of reactive. Because when you're reactive, you make bad choices and you don't necessarily hire the right people or make the right decisions. So we force them to go out, look at what this is going to entail to hire somebody, what it entails to do interviews. Maybe they should be hiring a firm. And then by the time they have started that business, they've got some of the skills. But the mentors as well, they help out.
They help out too. It sounds to me like they almost have a bit of at least the foundation of a human resource plan in place.
That's, foundation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bricks.
I know. I intentionally did that because...
Not walls.
Because you're growing a business from scratch, and, you know, you can't actually have the walls to your human resource plan in place until, you know, you figure out a few things and there's some challenges along the way. I know that I've worked with some entrepreneurs previously, and they've always go out to hire somebody, and their biggest challenge would be they always try to hire somebody like themselves. And
worst
then
thing
worst
ever.
Worst thing you can ever do, right? You know, and some of the challenges there. One of the other things that business-wise is financing usually is a big issue. What is one of the challenges that some of the entrepreneurs have around financing?
Well, it's really important to get across to anyone who's listening out there is do not bootstrap your business. And by that, I mean do not use your personal credit card, your personal bank account, your RSPs, credit lines, to fund your business. What I've seen is people do this, and then when they reach that critical period of growth and they're actually looking for a loan, they've maxed out everything and they can't get a loan.
They can't get access to anything.
So
why don't we take a short break and we'll come back talking about that, because I think there's some things they can do around with that. This is Richard Land. We'll be right back. Hi, it's Richard Land for Set for Success. But you already knew that, didn't you? Yeah, I know it's on the intro. I am chatting with Joelle Foster from Futurepreneur, and we've been talking a bit about business and everything. And just before the break, we've been talking about the whole idea around finances, Joelle. I think that's where we were at, and we're talking about bootstrapping your business. And I think that's maybe a good place to jump into the segment, because what you were suggesting is somewhat counterintuitive, that some other business books and everything say that, you know, some business books say that you should max out everything you own first before you seek help.
Oh, no, I'd like to get those guys or girls in a room and challenge them
and
on
challenge,
that.
Challenge them that. I know the one segment we talked a bit about where your funding came from and everything. So I guess in what way do you help new entrepreneurs get funding for their businesses?
So when you are starting, so counter to what everyone's been told, you have to get a loan if you're going to start a business that is going to have a storefront or inventory or leasehold improvements. You have to look at that. And one of the reasons that coming to us is safer is we don't ask for collateral. So if by some chance you do default, which we hope you don't, and we have in Manitoba, I have a 91% success rate out of my 217 businesses.
That's really good.
But we won't come after your home, your car, your firstborn.
Okay.
Okay. So, I mean, if you're going to take a loan, at least get a loan from a place like us that, you know, we're not taking a piece of you, and we're setting you up for success. And bootstrapping, I mean, that's just, oh, it just frustrates me. And I've noticed that more women do it than men.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's a little surprising.
Yeah.
Because every time I talk to some young male entrepreneurs, they're talking about how the strategy they used to get as many credit cards as they could to get their business off the ground, and how on the edge they were with their credit cards, one credit card to pay the other credit card, which is a dangerous place to be in.
And that's probably why I've never met them, because they're maxed out and they don't come to me.
They're not coming through your door. I know that there was a bit of a question in terms of the financing. What size of loans do you generally give out?
Well, here in Manitoba, I can get an entrepreneur up to $75,000.
That's a lot of money.
So $45,000 through Futurepreneur. So in Saskatchewan, Manitoba, $45,000 is the normal amount. In Manitoba, there's something called a business start loan. And we've got this incredible relationship with a couple of banks, especially RBC. They've been wonderful. So if an entrepreneur is coming through us, a lot of these financial organizations will step up and fund them, because they're working with us.
Yeah, so because they have support.
Well,
right?
And we have a proven track record.
You have a proven trial. 92%, did you say?
91% success
rate. Sorry, I gave you an extra 1%.
I like it. I'll take it. 92.
You know, that's actually pretty good, because one of the things you often hear is that when you go to banks to actually borrow money, people hear the word no, so they won't approach the banks, or they're afraid to, or and sometimes banks are considered non-business friendly. I'm sorry, banks, if you're listening to me saying this, I'm just going by feedback that I get from people, you know. So
it can be true. That's why if you come to us first and we're working with you and the banks know that, now the door is open.
Yeah, and it sounds to me like the earlier you do that, the better. So
yes.
If you have the idea, and maybe maybe that's the question, at what point should they show up? Should it be that they have this idea that they really want to go and pursue, or should they be down the road a little bit?
We like people to come with an idea. I mean, but I've had some people come with several ideas, and I am pretty good at sitting down and pulling out what people are good at and what they're going to be passionate about. You can't start a business with the idea of just making money. It's not going to work.
Doesn't work.
Have to want to start a business because it's something that you're passionate about, or it's a skill you have or an interest. And then that, one of the byproducts of that is you're going to make money.
You're going to make money from it.
Now,
that's actually a very good point, because I've had people say, I want to start a business to make money. And I sit there and go, you know, you're probably better off to start a business with a purpose first, something that you're interested in, and then have that become your livelihood over time. It makes for a very interesting thing. During a break, we were talking a bit about programming. And I know that you got a couple of programs that you offer.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about those?
So we have a regular startup program, and that is the $45,000. That is the 2-year mentor. We also have a newcomer program. So if you're new to Canada under 5 years and you've got little or no credit history, we can actually get you up to $15,000. And that can make a huge difference because most people will not invest in a newcomer because
they have no history whatsoever, no equity.
Yeah. So we do have that program. And then we do have a standalone called Momentum, where we'll give you 6 months of mentoring. And then some people, that fleshes out their idea, and then they can usually come through the startup program after that.
Now, you mentioned, okay, so newcomer, Momentum, was that
Momentum?
Momentum? So that's
and then
more
our
of a mentorship.
Startup.
And then startup. But then you said the regular program, so but you just sort of touched on that. So maybe it sounds to me like Momentum is very well defined and the newcomer is very well defined because there's criteria around it.
Right.
So what's the criteria around regular program?
Regular programming, basically 18 to 39 years of age, you have relatively good credit.
Yeah,
because we are kind of basing this what we call character, not collateral. And if you don't have good credit, so if you've got parking tickets or speeding tickets out there, please pay them. Don't go to collections.
Yeah.
That's what I see in a lot of young people's credit reports. But you know, and then writing a solid business plan and a good cash flow. And we have all those resources online for you. And if you don't know how to write a business plan, you can go through something called our 5Q. And right. That is through an entrepreneur in residence. You go through webinars, and then we help you do that.
Well, first of all, when you say something like 5Q, I'm curious.
Five questions. Yes, there's five questions. Yes.
So there is so 5Q is sort of five questions,
yes.
And you sort of help them build it out from there. I was reading on your website something called social purpose businesses,
mm-hmm.
and I thought that was fascinating. So what's a social purpose business?
Well, we've had one here in Winnipeg called City Grow. So what he does is finding lots in the city of land that's not being used by different corporations, and they're growing food on these lots. And people are then either growing it and then selling it and making their own businesses out of that or feeding their families. So that is a business with a social purpose.
Okay.
So,
that's a great example,
yes.
Actually.
So, and I mean that David is doing amazing there, and I know that he would like to even expand that.
And see how that works for him. It never ceases to amaze me how many different type of businesses you can actually get into, and unique ones too, like businesses with a purpose, traditional businesses that cover the basic, stomach. Food in your stomach, clothes on your back, roof over your head type businesses. My dad was into those types of businesses.
Okay.
So that's why I know those three key ones. And to things that with a social purpose, that's amazing. And the one you gave example of was this food in your stomach example, right? So just amazing. This is Richard Lannan. We're going to take a short break. And when we get back, we'll find out how we connect with Futurepreneur. Hello, everybody, and welcome back. It's Richard Lannan for Set for Success, and we've been talking to Joelle from Futurepreneur. I always like saying that, Futurepreneur. I always like to see, final thought. What would be your final thought for our listeners?
Well, basically, I would just like to say, if you have an idea, please reach out to us. There is no cost. We can make a huge difference in your life. We can set you up for success. And I just want you to know that you're not alone out there.
Yeah. How would somebody, if they want people to do that, how would they get in touch with you?
So we have a website, I always try to do that really
W's.
Fast. Futurepreneur. So I'm going to spell it for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, please do.
F-U-T-U-R. So there's no E in the future. And then it's preneur. So P-R-E-N-E-U-R. .ca.
So it is a .ca.
.ca, okay. Yes.
Okay. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you for joining me today. I've had an incredible lot of fun with you, and thank you for letting me sort of joke around with you and everything. For the listeners, if you have an idea for a guest or you just want to reach out to me with a question or you'd like me to connect you with somebody who's been on my show, just richard@setforsuccess.ca. Other than that, thank you for tuning in, and remember to do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count. This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success. Thank you.